If you have your Bibles with you today, you could turn to the book of Romans. If you don't have a Bible with you today, it's okay. We're going to be reading all the verses in Romans. And you might like to have your purple bulletin open. On the inside, there's verses outside of Romans that we're going to be using as we move through the message today. We've been doing a series in Romans called Truth in a Nutshell. And the title of this morning's message is Made Right. How can a man be made right so that he can stand in the presence of a holy God? How is that ever possible? That's what we're going to look at today. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word today, this would not be man's opinion, but it would be just an opening up of what you have said to us. We pray that we would see the words in the scripture. We pray that we would understand them. And we pray, Lord, that we would embrace them with all of our heart. Oh, Lord, I pray that anyone here today would come to see how they might be made right and they might choose to be made right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A 61-year-old miner noticed that the skin under his armpit was becoming dark and thick. Then he noticed the same thing was happening in his groins and the back of his neck. And finally, his nipples also started to turn dark. What was this strange thing? I don't have the details whether he went to the doctor or not at that particular time. I certainly know that he did later. But if he did go to the doctor at that time, it's quite possible that he was given some steroid cream and asked to come back in a couple of weeks. Well, if that happened, I can tell you that the steroid cream did not help at all. In fact, all of the other creams in the dermatologist's armamentarium would not have helped him in any way. Why? The problem was more than skin deep. A problem was visible externally in the skin, but the problem primarily was internal. No external therapy was going to help. Those external therapies could no more help than Band-Aid on a cancer. What was his unusual problem? Well, you're going to have to wait to find out. But let me say, spiritually, Band-Aid therapy does not work either. Spiritual Band-Aid therapy does not work either. Religion, all mere religion, only puts Band-Aids on the spiritual problem that man has. It's only Band-Aids on a cancer. We need to know that spiritually we have a terminal cancer and that the Band-Aids of religion are totally useless on that cancer. We need something more than religion. It is not enough to look right. We must be made right. Band-Aids of good works and skin balms of religious ritual, days and foods and the mere regulations of men and going through the motions can do nothing for the real problem. We need to throw away the Band-Aids. We need to throw away the skin balms, for they give false hope when what we need is radical surgery. We need the cancer removed. We need to be made right. Last time in the book of Romans, was just last week, we were faced with a grim diagnosis and an even worse prognosis. We need more than Band-Aids. Today we need that surgery of the soul. Last time we saw that the alcoholic man or woman, the alcoholic, is typical of all men. He has an addiction to alcohol and we have an addiction to sin. He is a slave to his alcohol, and we are a slave to sin. No matter how much he tries to stop, he cannot. And no matter how much we try to do good, we fail. We always end up somehow doing something wrong. He needs help, and we need help. Rules won't help him, and mere rules aren't going to help us either. So what does help? Well, that's what Paul explains in Romans chapter 1 and verses 21 through 26. In Romans 3, Paul gives the facts. Five very helpful details of how we can be made right. This is how spiritual surgery occurs. and the very first wonderfully helpful detail of how we can be made right is we are made right without human effort. We are made right without human effort. We start at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. You could circle that word apart. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. That is, you are not made right by keeping the law. The righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law. No matter how hard you try, you cannot become right. You cannot make yourself right in and of yourself. Jesus faced one young man with this fact, a young man who was doing pretty well, better than most of us. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, we read about him. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." I wonder which of us could say that. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He had done substantially well. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't prepared to sell what he had. Jesus said to him, "One thing you lack." And we always lack something, probably more than one thing. Mostly many things, but one thing at least we lack. No one is perfect. No one can become good on his own efforts. And verse 23 in our passage confirms that saying. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That verse could be quite correctly paraphrased, "Everyone sins. Everyone lacks something. We are all inferior to the glory God requires. We might be so far, but God's glory is to the heavens." So we are not made right by trying. It's not by keeping the Old Testament law. And we're not made right by the rules of religion either. Paul comments about all the religions in the world in Colossians 2 and verse 23. "These things indeed have the appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." These things don't stop us sinning. God's law and man's rules of religion have the same problem. No one can keep them perfectly. And even if we could, that would be merely band-aid therapy, because keeping the law and keeping the rules of religion are just band-aid therapy. They are externals. We are not made right by keeping Old Testament law. We are not made right by the rules of religion, nor are we made right by working hard at it, doing our best to be good. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, not by works of good, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." In summary then, we are not made right by keeping the Old Testament law. We are not made right by the rules of men's religion or religion in general. And we are not made right by trying to do good. Why? Because all these things are just putting band-aids on a cancer. All these things have to do with external acts, keeping the law, doing religion, trying to do good things. They are all externals and the problem is internal. The reason we cannot ever get it right is sin that indwells us. Using a medical analogy, we could say we have a cancer of sin that prevents us functioning the way we ought. It's like our 61-year-old miner. The external skin creams didn't work because he had an internal problem. For those in the know, the skin problem was a clue that he had a cancer. And our outward sins are a clue that we have an inner problem. We have a sin nature These outward things show that we have a sin nature, and that is kind of like a cancer in our soul. God asks one thing of man in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. One thing. Surely we can do one thing. Well, Mark 12 and verse 30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And look, if we could keep that, we could keep everything else too. But because we cannot do that, our failure to do that shows that we have an inner problem with the sin nature, a cancer of the soul. And law-keeping, religion, and good works are just band-aids on that cancer of the soul, totally inadequate. The second helpful detail of how we can be made right is we are made right by simple faith. We are made right by simple faith. Let's have a look at verse 21 again. It says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets," that is, being witnessed by the whole Old Testament, "even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." There it is. We are not made right by the law, we are made right by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul repeats the same truth in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that man is not justified or made right by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." In Galatians 3:26, "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And it's repeated many times in the scripture. A person is saved alone through faith in Christ. Now that is not just any faith. Belief is only as good as the object that that belief is placed in. Today in the world, we're told to believe in ourselves. And maybe we have some people in a competition, three people in a competition, they all believe in themselves that they're going to win. But there's only going to be one winner. They all fully expect to win, but faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. How foolish to believe in ourselves in that sense. Indeed, we are made right by simple faith, but that is not just any faith in anything. The New Testament requires faith in Christ, and the Old Testament requires faith in God, and the two are one. For example, God made some extraordinary promises to Abraham, including Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, "Then he," God, "brought him," Abraham, "outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" And what was Abraham's response to the promise that God would make his descendants as the stars of heaven? Well, the next verse goes on to say, where'd that go? Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord." He believed in the Lord. Abraham believed in Yahweh, the Lord. And because of Abraham's faith, what did God do? The rest of verse 6 says, "And he accounted it to him for righteousness." He counted it as righteousness. He credited it as righteousness. As David said it before, he imputed it as righteousness. Abraham was not righteous in and of himself. No man is. But because of his faith, God counted Abraham as being righteous. So we read in our verses again, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Any person who puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be counted to have God's righteousness. How amazing is that? What can't be achieved by trying to keep the law can be achieved by faith in Christ. People are saved the same way, Old and New Testament, by faith in Christ. Abraham looked ahead to the Messiah who would come and save his people from their sins. We, who stand in the 21st century, look back on what Jesus Christ did. But it's the same. We both need faith in him. Giving the Old Testament examples of Noah and Abraham and Sarah, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 says, These all died in faith, not having received the promises in particular of the Messiah, the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. And so they looked ahead in faith and were saved the same way as us. This salvation by faith alone is nothing new. Paul emphasizes it's there in the Old Testament as we've just been reading. But now the righteousness of God, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Old Testament spoke about this too. Our 61-year-old miner had an external skin problem for everyone to be able to see. And each of us have outward acts of sin for everyone else to be able to see. His skin problem, which is called acanthosis nigricans, which means thick black skin, indicated that he had an internal problem. 4 months after the skin problem developed, he also developed shortness of breath. And 6 weeks after he developed shortness of breath, he was sent on to a specialist who understood what acanthosis nigricans meant. It meant that he had cancer, and it turned out when they did the investigations to be lung cancer. Our acts of sin reveal an internal problem, which is like a cancer. Our sin nature, eventually that sin nature will destroy us. This is our predicament. If we try and solve our problem ourselves, eventually the prognosis is death. But if we will put our trust in Jesus Christ, we will find the healing that we need. This is so because at last we get the radical, we get the internal surgery of the soul that is needed. Keeping the law deals with external acts, but trusting Christ renews the heart, it transforms the mind, it does a surgery in the soul. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. At that point, we ought to stand and dance and celebrate and have a party, because this is the greatest news ever told. We have a cancer that is totally curable in Christ. And also Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take out the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Both Old Testament and New Testament testify to the same thing, a radical surgery which is possible through faith in Christ. Don't you want to be transformed? Don't you want to be renewed? Then put your faith in Jesus Christ today. The third helpful detail of how we can be made right is we can be made right with no exceptions. We can be made right with no exceptions. We are not made right by human effort. We are made right by simple faith in Christ. And to this statement, there are no exceptions. Verse 21, let's read those verses again. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You notice the word all repeated in those verses. We all have the same problem. We all can be cured by the same treatment. The diagnosis is sin, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the treatment is faith in Christ, as verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We're all in the same boat, whether Jew or whether non-Jew. That's what Gentile means. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners, and so all can be saved through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Our 61-year-old miner got to the good doctors, the doctors who were in the know, too late. He was dead 4 months later. From the beginning of his skin problem to his death, there was a total of about 9 months. Please don't leave it too late. There is not time to consider all the alternative therapies that are out there. When it comes to spiritual matters, there is only one good physician. Today, friends, that good physician makes a house call. He comes to your house And we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, him saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." He's come to visit you today. Will you open the door of your heart to him and say, "Lord Jesus, come in"? And Paul adds in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Salvation is for you. Older person, younger person, child here today, male or female, salvation is for you. No exceptions. If you will put your trust in Jesus Christ, won't you do it today? The fourth revealing detail in regard to how we can be made right is we can be made right through redemption. Through redemption. Somehow, salvation by faith alone doesn't seem right. Doesn't it feel like I should have to pay? Doesn't it feel like I should have to do something? How can it be that just faith does this? How can salvation be free? Well, while salvation is free to us, it is not without cost. Salvation is actually very, ultimately, expensive. It costs Christ his life. We have no work to do. It is free to us because he paid it all. In verse 24 we read, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Oh, this is good news today. The cost is in redemption. The idea of redemption is that redemption is totally free once the ransom has been fully paid. And it frees by paying the ransom in full. Christ paid with his life. In a recent article in the Australian newspaper, it said, "An airdrop of $3 million ransom yesterday brought an end to the six-month hostage ordeal of a Danish family who ignored the warnings and sailed into dangerous waters. Jan Johansson and his wife and their three children, aged 13 to 17, were captured with their two Danish crew members on February 24, 2011, when their 13-metre yacht was seized by Somali pirates in the Indian Ocean. They endured a botched rescue attempt in which seven people died. They endured shootouts between the pirates and locals, illness, and protracted ransom negotiations, which were funded by friends and family, heading back to Denmark last night," so says the Australian. Now, that Danish family were redeemed. They were freed when the full ransom price of $3 million was paid. They didn't pay a thing. Others paid for them. The ransom price was paid and they were set free. Similarly, salvation is free to us because Christ paid for it alone. Christ alone paid the price of redemption. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we see the explanation that Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins. By himself, no one could add to what he did. And because the work of redemption was then complete, the verse says, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. We sit down when the work is done. And he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So you see then, the highest possible price, this wasn't cheap, the highest possible price was paid by the Father in allowing his Son to die in our place, the blood of his own dear Son. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We are not made right by our own human effort. We are made right by simple faith in Jesus Christ, and there are no exceptions. Faith is enough because Jesus Christ has already paid the redemption. God did it all. Christ did it all for us. Pastor Harry Ironside told about a new Christian who gave his testimony during a church service. With joy in his heart, the man related how he had been delivered from a life of sin. He gave the Lord all the glory, making clear he had done nothing to add to his salvation. The person leading the servant's service, however, didn't fully appreciate that a man is saved by faith alone and that apart from the works of the law and religion and good works. So he responded, you seem to indicate that God did everything when he saved you. Didn't you do your part too? He said. The new Christian jumped to his feet and said, oh yes, I did. For more than 30 years I ran away from God as fast as my sins could carry me. That was my part. But God took out after me and ran me down. That was God's part. I can add nothing to the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is only offered as a free gift. Faith in Christ, his death in my place saves, and I will be counted right, like Abraham. Can we get our heads around that? This is amazing. Will you take the step of faith today? Believe in him, and it will be counted as righteousness. Trusting Christ is the best thing that I ever did. May I ask you today, what is stopping you? What is stopping you? The greatest gift anyone could offer you, the most important decision you ever make in life, what is stopping you? The fifth blessed detail in regard to how we can be made right is we can be made right only because of who God is. Because of who God is. You see, think about those Somali pirates. They could have, the 3 million was dropped to them. They could have got their 3 million and said, actually, we want 3 million more. It takes an extraordinary God to accept the death of his son in my place. Why wouldn't God just give me my just deserts? Haven't I turned my back on him? Haven't I gone my own way? Haven't I sinned against? Why wouldn't he give me my just deserts? Well, because of who God is. God's wrath, God's grace, God's wrath, God's goodness, and God's justice all come into play in counting a sinner right. When a sinner like you or me is made right, God's grace is extended. God is a God of grace. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you could have a look at a couple of words there. Being justified, circle that word justified, freely and grace. Being justified freely by his grace. That word justify means to be made innocent, to be counted as righteous. When we're talking about being made right, which this whole message is about today, we're talking about justification, an act of God where he declares a person to be righteous. Just as if someone said, I had never sinned. Further, we are made right freely. The verse does not say made right because we deserve it. In effect, the verse is saying made right without deserving it. We are justified freely. The idea of freely there is gratuitous. It is a gift, and it's by his grace. In grace, God holds out a gift to you this morning, the gift of salvation. Will you take that gift for yourself? It has to be taken for yourself. No gift becomes yours until you receive it. You must receive the gift that God offers and is given to all who would receive it. Christ died, but that would not help us if God were not a God of grace. In grace, God says, now believe and I will count it as if you've never sinned. You will be justified, made right. When a sinner like you or me is made right, it's because God's wrath is satisfied. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Sin is like a cancer. That's what we've been saying all morning. It hurts, it harms, it maims, and it kills. God is therefore rightly angry against sin. And God chose to pour all his anger against sin on Christ when he died on that cross. At that moment, the Lord cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he was forsaken because he was bearing the sin of the world in his body on the tree, and that sin cut him off from the Father. Because God poured out his anger on Christ there on the cross, God's anger is now quenched. He is willing to count me righteous if only I will put my faith in Christ. A man can say, oh, I don't believe that rubbish. And so the wrath of God will continue to abide on him because he has rejected the free gift that has been offered to him. The word there, propitiation, refers to God's wrath satisfied in Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation, satisfying his wrath by his blood through faith. A sinner like you or me can be made right because God's grace is extended, because God's wrath is satisfied, and because God's goodness is being demonstrated. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. To demonstrate his righteousness could be translated to demonstrate his goodness. And so that phrase, to demonstrate his goodness, is repeated twice, once in verse 25 and once in verse 26. Those verses explain that God's goodness is demonstrated because in verse 25, he is no longer angry with the sinner who has put his trust in Christ. That is God's goodness, that he doesn't continue to be angry with us. And God is good, secondly, according to verse 26, because he has not yet judged, but has judged his Son in our stead. There is coming a day of judgment. That's coming. But God has passed over the sins for now to give people an opportunity to turn to his Son. Such is God's goodness. Such is God's goodness. Such is God's justice. A sinner like you or me can be made right because God's grace is extended to us, God's wrath is satisfied, God's goodness is demonstrated, and God's justice is exercised toward us. Verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That God might be seen to be fair, the one who makes right, the one who puts his faith in Jesus. God is so gracious. God is so good. God is so just. Therefore, he accepts the redemption price paid by his Son for us. Therefore, you can be made right through faith in him, and that without exception. Our 61-year-old miner had the effects of cancer in his body, just as we carry the effects of sin in our bodies. No doubt it was hard to hear the news that he had cancer. And maybe it's hard for you to hear today that you have a heart problem, a deep inner problem with sin. Maybe that's hard to hear. And that sin disease is terminal. The miner may have asked the doc, what can be done? And we should ask, we might similarly ask, what must I do that I can be saved? And the answer is in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. The same applies to your whole house. If not everyone from your house is here today, you can go home and tell them you can be saved the same way. Praise God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your whole household. The doctors were not able to help the miner. But Jesus Christ is able to help any person that comes to him, who humbly comes to him. He will count that man righteous. He will make that man right. Now, it's time to consider what to do with this today. Can I say, you'll never get every question that you might have answered. You'll never get any question answered. That is deliberate because God wants this to be a step of faith. There is much evidence. I've given you the evidence in God's Word today and how Old Testament unites with New Testament. There is much evidence, but you will not get every question answered, for God wants you to make a step of faith. Now, could I say to you today, step out in bold faith. Admit that you have an internal problem with sin and look to Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin. That's as simple as it is. Don't delay. The appointment with salvation is today. God guarantees, there may be, but God guarantees no further appointment. You must trust in Christ to be saved. Have I been clear? I want to reach everyone today. I don't want anyone to leave here without the Savior. Do you understand how you can be made right? You must turn from sin and trust Christ as your Savior from sin. Let's pray. Lord, I'm praying first of all for those who may be wearing a facade, who come to church looking like they're a Christian, but they have never truly trusted Christ. Oh Lord, I pray that they would admit their sin today and put their full faith in a Savior who saves from sin. And then Lord, I'm praying for others that this, what we preach today, might be new. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that they would see that it is not new, but it is the old, old story, repeated from the time of Abraham right through the centuries and the millennia, more than 4,000 years until today. And so I pray, dear Heavenly Father, the God who saved Abraham might in his mercy save a sinner today. Save two sinners or three or four. Oh Lord, work as only your Spirit can work and draw people to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name.